Welcome to Coffee to Go, where we center ourselves in the scriptures, seasons, and holy days of the Christian tradition. I'm Karen Peter, here with Blake Smith, and we welcome you on the journey. We are in ordinary time, or what's often called the season after Pentecost, and these weeks are numbered or ordered, which is where ordinary time comes from. It's a pretty long stretch lasting from Pentecost up until when the new liturgical year begins in Advent, the last Sunday in November. So in this season after Pentecost, this is the period of time where the Holy Spirit has empowered us, the church, to go and to live the ministry and message of Jesus. So with that in mind, where is Jesus this week? And are we still with him? I'm hoping we are. Jesus is talking with a group of people, as always, teaching. So maybe instead of where, it should be what do we learn from Jesus this week? So let's listen in, Blake.
All right. Well, we are moving forward in the Gospel according to Luke, and it is the 12th chapter. And today we'll be reading from the 13th through the 21st verse. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told him a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." So why does this matter? Karen, I don't know. I don't know how many of our listeners grew up in the time where the people who worked for the church, our appointees, apostles, all of the leaders, worked in a just wants and needs kind of setup. So for those of you who aren't familiar with that, it was really, really, I can't even imagine. I'm not even really sure how to put it into words, but I remember families that had come into our area and knowing that they had to set a budget every year, plan ahead for what their just wants and needs were and prepare a budget. So they had to know like how many rolls of toilet paper they would use during the year and estimate what costs would be. And they put together that budget and submit that to the bishopric. And then that would be their income for the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were some promises in retirement about coverage beyond all your medical needs and housing needs and that kind of thing. But to live just with exactly what you needed, that just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Because
it
we
was
all
quite a
have
sacrifice. Yeah.
Because, I mean, how many of us now, if we're asked, "Well, what do you really need?" "Well, I need to be able to go out to dinner three nights a week, and I need to, because I work late and I can't cook dinner." And, you know, we could go on and on, and figuring out what that need is nearly impossible, or I guess we've made it so because it's really hard to draw the line. I mean, we want enough to care for our families, for ourselves. We want a little bit at least to do the things that we enjoy. We are brought up in a culture that says, well, you know, you've worked hard. You deserve to get to play a little. We, of course, want to have enough to retire, possibly leave a legacy. I know I'm always telling my mom, she's saying, "Well, I want to leave a little bit for you kids." And I'm like, "Well, this is your money. You know, do what you need to do." But we want to leave something behind. So deciding what is enough and then when does enough become excess?
That's the trick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we remember, when Jesus defined his purpose as coming to bring good news to the poor, captive, blind, oppressed. And again, we can justify with the argument that there's lots of ways to be poor. And we might feel poor at times, but I remember, and I may have shared this on a earlier episode, but I remember being in seminary and making a comment just off the cuff in a class with a gentleman by the name of Tex Sample. He was the professor and he worked in blue collar ministry. And I made a comment and said, well, you have to remember, we're just poor, broke college students. And Tex Sample turned on me and I saw a wrath and a look that I hope I never see again. And he simply said to me, boy, you may be broke, but you ain't never been poor.
Yeah.
And that was this huge wake up moment for me. But we convince ourselves sometimes, I think, that we're poor, either spiritually or emotionally, relationally, or financially. But when we do this, we disengage from this text. This was a son of wealth. He was wanting his share of the inheritance. And we, of course, don't have any idea what he wants to do with it. But it's clear he's determined to receive what is his, not necessarily what he needs, but what's his.
So I want to just stop there and go back to the actual scripture, Blake, because something popped out when you were reading it. And that is that this is someone in the crowd. He's obviously fielding questions, right? And so how many times have we been in a situation where people are asking questions, just like from the floor, if you will? And this person obviously is asking a question that's outside the norm of the kinds of questions that you would ask Jesus, right? So I'm thinking, if I'm in the crowd following this healer, rabbi person, really, is getting my brother to give me my half of my inheritance money the question I really need to ask this person? It just seems, we just read it and go, oh, that's what happened. But if I really put myself in the moment, it's like, seriously, that's what you're going to ask Jesus, is to make sure you get your money? I mean, what? And I think of my own self when I've been in situations where I'm fielding questions, and every once in a while, somebody will pop up with some weird question out of nowhere that I really, in my brain, I'm going, why would you even ask me that? But you can't say that out loud. And so I'm really feeling solidarity with Jesus, who's probably thinking, I cannot believe that that is what you're, what you're interested in. And rather than shaming him, right, or criticizing him, he uses this story, which is a softer way to make the point, and so that the person can save face. And I think that's a really good, it's something to remember when we read this question, that this was not the normal kinds of question that Jesus would be asked at these moments. So,
probably not the top of the list for those in deep need, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, what did you miss about poor and oppressed and letting people go free? What? Yeah.
Really? Absolutely. Is this what really matters to you?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, he's in this where all the talk is about poor and oppressed. And he's like, well, wait a minute. That's all fine for them. But what about me?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I appreciate that perspective, because I think I too, it just read through that and say, okay, well, this is another question. And Jesus answers as he typically does, but definitely probably an eye roll somewhere in there. Huh?
I'm thinking. Yeah.
So like you said, then Jesus turns around and tells it in a story format. And he tells a story about what is enough and what's excess. And if we think about it for ourselves, if we build up so much and keep it only for ourselves, and I'm quite honestly, I'm in that place. I'm within a reasonable amount of time to be thinking very hard about retirement. And am I going to have enough and that, and how much can I give away, or how much, you know, can I do and still be okay? So it's not unusual, but what we have to keep in mind is what Jesus tells in the story. We can do that and keep it for ourselves, but we could be gone tomorrow. The story doesn't condemn wealth, but it reminds us to focus on more than just the wealth, not just for oneself, and think about what is the best way to use that in the moment. So some questions we might ask ourselves in this line of thinking are, am I focused so much on accumulating enough and more that I ignore God's concern for the poor? Another one is, in what ways am I building a bigger barn so I can have more stuff?
I mean, that's really what the guy in the story was doing, right? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, my barn's full of stuff. Yeah, I'm going to build a bigger barn. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we fill that one. And then what do?
Right.
Do we start again? How big does the barn have to be? Finally, the last question I think we might think about is, am I caught up in a bigger, better, faster world at the expense of healthy relationships with God, others, and the earth? Relationships are just so important, and we put money and the accumulation of possessions over that sometimes.
Yeah, we see a lot of that until something just happens in our life when we go, whoa, maybe that is not where my focus needs to be. So how can we kind of live in this story this week? Well, I think maybe this week would be a good time to share your excess. So I was thinking about the different things that we often have in excess in our lives. If you're my age, my grandkids are older now, and so I have a closet full of board games that aren't used as they are no longer needed. So that's an excess. Do I give them away? Do I invite people over and have a game night? How am I using what I have stored in my giant barn? If you have a wealth of family recipes, teach them to someone, teach them to younger people in your family or to other people in your community. If you have an overflowing linen closet, donate to a shelter. Ask yourself, what do I have that's more than enough? And then share it or donate it or invite others to use it or engage in it with you. So this week, let's share our excess.
Great things for us to think about. So I want to close us out with a blessing today, as always. And this one is entitled Risk, and it's written by Donna Ashworth. Believing tomorrow to be a guarantee is the biggest mistake we make. Not seizing every day like the gift that it is the biggest risk we take. Do what makes you happy. Love your loved ones fiercely. Speak up. Say the words. Do the stuff. Ride the waves. Head down through the storms. Accept the dark. The light will follow. It's all part of it. It's life. It's meant to feel good. It's meant to feel hard. Just feel it all. Believing tomorrow to be a guarantee is the biggest mistake we make. Not seizing every day like the gift that it is the biggest risk we take. Well, thanks for being with us here this week at Coffee to Go. We invite you to join us next time, as always, for the next part of our journey through the liturgical seasons and holy days of the Christian tradition.